verse 41 as we come to the section entitled Vol. And this Hebrew word means an expression of firm trust, an intense delight in God's word, and an earnest desire to see God's word fulfilled. Well, that brings me to a question for you tonight. Do you hold within your heart an earnest desire to see God's kingdom come? I want you to think about that. Are you looking forward to the coming of the kingdom? And we're talking about the millennial reign of Christ here. And a couple things have to happen before Christ comes and sets up his kingdom. First, what's the next great event on God's prophetic calendar? Matthew? The rapture. Yep. That's what we're looking forward to. Soon and very soon, shout's going to come, trump's going to sound, and Marty and I, as we're on our way up, are going to sing, "We're flying away." And hallelujah, amen. Then we're going to look at each other and say, "It's going to be all right." Praise the Lord. But then, while we're up there celebrating the wedding of the Lamb, because we're the bride of Christ, down here on earth, all hell's breaking loose. Now, I know when you look at our world today, you probably think all hell's broken loose. But all hell hasn't broken loose yet. When the church is out of this world, all hell will break loose. And it'll be a world like we've never seen before. And thank God we won't be here to see it. And that's a time called the tribulation. First 3.5 years, tribulation. Last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. It'll be a time like no other. And then after that, Christ comes back and we come with him. And he puts down this world by just one word from his mouth. And then he sets up his millennial reign. And we get to rule and reign with him here on the earth for 1,000 years and then for all eternity. And so, how did Jesus teach us to pray? Now, you all know this. It's not a trick question. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be. Every time we pray that prayer, we're just reaffirming in our heart and our mind exactly what God has asked us to do. We want his kingdom to come. We want his will to be done. See, what you need and what I need is for heaven to intervene in our earthly circumstances down here on earth, right? Prayer is meant to get God's will done in us here on earth. It's not meant to get our will done in heaven. And so, we've got to understand what the purpose of prayer is. The purpose of prayer is for heaven to intervene in our earthly lives down here. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on where? Earth. So there it is. As it is where? In heaven. And so it's going to be wonderful when God comes and sets up his millennial kingdom. And so this section expresses a firm trust and an intense delight in God's word and an earnest desire to see it fulfilled. Well, here's another question. It's very easy to say, "I trust in God's word," but it's hard to live it, right? Okay? But if you have a firm trust in God's word, it ought to make it easy to live it. In other words, when all hell's breaking loose in your life, and let's face it, hell can break loose in our earthly lives down here, can't it? When all of a sudden everything goes topsy-turvy, the rug's pulled out from under your feet, your sucker punched below the belt, you get the idea. What's going to see us through? That firm trust in God's word. You know, when you're down and out, you got to remember God's promise. I can do all things through who? right? When you don't know how you're going to meet your emotional, physical, intellectual needs, what's God's promise to you? But my God shall supply all my. When you've got concerns and you're in faced with situations that seem impossible to you, many people take the worry and fretting over it rather than in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God which passes what? Shall guard your what? Your heart and your mind, okay? See, a lot of times we're left unguarded because we're relying on us. We need to remember the promises of God. He is our firm foundation. And if we'll remember the promises of God, some of these situations we've just talked about, they're going to be a lot easier for us to get through. I'm not mean in the sense that we're in it, but God's going to see us through it. Now, you need to understand something. Anything that comes into your life or mine first had to go through the hands of God. God has allowed it, just like he did with Job. It may be God is trying to prove Satan wrong. It may be he needs to grow your faith. But for whatever reason it's in us, God has allowed it to come. So if God has allowed it, we also can know that God will see us what? Through it. And so, one of the things here as we read these verses, and we'll get to this in just a moment, verse 41, everybody there say amen. Psalm 119, 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I what? And take not the word of truth utterly out of my hope in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty. For I seek thy precepts, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have, and I will meditate in thy. Okay? Now, I want you to know something. Most people, well, they're like the old Israelites, aren't they? Grumble, 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 complain, 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 whine, whine, whine. You get the picture. What happens to us when we're doing that? What's not in our mouths? The truth of God. Okay? There's no truth in our mouth. Is God a good God? Does God take care of you? Are you alive right now because of the mercies of God? Okay? Without the mercies of God, where would you be? So you see, it's very important. One of the things that should ring in our ears from these verses is a sense of holy fear. Notice what he says here. Let thy mercies come unto me. Take not the word of what? Verse 43. Take not the word of utterly out of my mouth. See, there's a sense of holy fear. And perhaps you'll agree that what's needed right now, and I mean right now more than in any other time in our world's history, our lifetimes, we need fear. We need the fear of God. And the man of God here, whom I believe to be David, trembles lest to any degree the Lord should remove his favor from him. And we see that as we read the verses. No, these eight verses are one continual pleading for the abiding grace of God in his soul. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you pray that way sometimes? O God, put me not away in thine anger. O God, remember me not according to my sins, but according to thy abundant mercies, remember thou me. The thought is supported by the holy arguments contained in the verses that speak to the psalmist's intense love for God. The word in verse 41 is mercies. It's plural. What are some of the reasons we need the multiple mercies of the Lord? Why do you need the multiple mercies of God? Keep us alive, okay. For your next breath, okay. Forgiveness, amen. For peace, yeah. I mean, there's so many reasons if you take the time to think about it. Now, the tenor of these verses reminds me of what Jeremiah wrote in the Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. This is what he said. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And by the way, that's what we're all doing right now, whether you realize that or not. We know that one day, should the Lord tarry, this earthly existence is going to end. We're hoping for the salvation of the Lord, amen? We're waiting on it. We all hope that we can miss the middleman and Jerry's not dressing us or Terry's not dressing us, that we're going right home to heaven, but we just want to be with Jesus. But what is the sum and the crown of all of the Lord's mercies to us? It is our salvation. That's the crown of God's mercies, salvation. Without it, we're going to hell. With it, heaven is our home. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the psalmist points out here, even thy salvation. And so let thy mercies come unto me, also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. The crown. I don't want just some of the mercies, Lord. I want the crown of your mercies. Thy salvation. In just doing so, he's ascribing salvation wholly to the Lord. Now, look at the cross over here tonight. Who died on this cross? Jesus, right? What part did we have in it? Our sin, that's it. Salvation is wholly of God, for God so loved the world that he gave who? That whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Yeah, but have everlasting life. It's all him. Now think about this, because sometimes you'll ask somebody, if Jesus were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? And they immediately go, well, I'm a good person, or I'm a member at such and such a church, I've been baptized, I did this, I taught Sunday school, I preached, I whatever. And they begin to point to all the things that they do. What's in the way? Marty? I's in the way. In other words, it's not just what Jesus did, it's also what I'm doing. I had to do such and such a thing. No, it's all Jesus and none of us. What does the Bible say about all of man's righteousness? It is as what? Dirty rags, yeah. Listen, I'll never get to heaven on the basis of my preaching, nor will I ever become a professional golfer by the way I golf. All right, I can't earn a living golfing, and I can't get to heaven by preaching. All right, I'm not good enough at golf to be a professional, and I don't preach well enough for God to accept all the time. I can't live good enough for God to accept me. If there's any good in me, it is the Holy Spirit who lives in me, and what's true of me is also true of you, because the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. So if any good lives in us, it's God in us. It's not us, it's Him. So this is very important. So as we begin to think about this, it's reminiscent of Jesus saying to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by me. You see, that cross, they're all over, especially at this time of year. But you and I have not been left without a witness. I bet if you think about it, you can remember back to when you were a younker and you saw the cross. Perhaps you got a grandmom or mom or granddaddy or somebody told you about the cross. The cross has been evident. It's been in our face all of our lives, hasn't it? We're without excuse, if you will. We know the only way to heaven is by the cross. Jesus said, I am the way. So all these fools out there today who say, no, 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 there's many roads. How many of you ever heard this? There's other roads to heaven. Many roads to heaven. There's only one road to heaven. Jesus is the way. Now, people are running around in this age of moral relativism. And so, you know, Jerry believes that Jesus died on the cross for his sins, and that's his Savior. But James believes that he gets free Big Macs every day at McDonald's, and Ronald McDonald is his Savior. Everybody has their own kind of truth, right? I believe this, and Gordon believes this, and you believe that, but people are searching for truth today, aren't they, Matthew? Everybody wants to know the truth. Well, Jesus is the truth. I am the way, and I am the truth. If you want to know truth, all you got to do is pick up the Bible and read it. And if you truly seek for truth, God will give you His truth. But if you're not seeking for truth, God won't show you a thing. And so, and here's a little tidbit for you. Pilate asked Jesus a direct question, are you a king? And Jesus said, yes, I am. And he told him, but my kingdom is not of this world. But then you'll remember Pilate came back to him and asked him another question, and he didn't get a word from Jesus. Why didn't he get a word? Because he didn't act on the light that he had been revealed to him. You see, so when God says to us, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, you need to act on the truth that God gives to you, because if you don't act on it, you've deceived yourself and you're not going to get any more. If you don't act on what God is showing you, He's not going to teach you any more. Why should He give you any more? You didn't do anything with what He'd already given you. So the very first thing is this: He is the way, and if you don't believe that, guess what? You're not getting any more. Then He is the truth. And if you don't believe that and you go looking for truth down at some psychologist's office, or you're one of these people that run, you're looking for some advice, so you go to Gordon and you don't like what he says, so you go to Buddy and, well, that's a little better, but I really don't like that. I'm going to run over here to Marty. Marty tells me something that's a little closer, but it's not what I want. I go to Kathy, and Kathy, oh, yeah, that's what I want. Okay? What am I doing? She just told me what I wanted to hear. That's all she's told me. I don't have the truth. She just told me what I wanted to hear. Isn't that how a lot of people are living their life today? They run from one place to another till they find somebody who will tell them what they want to hear. Now, if you come here, you're going to hear that you're a sinner. Now, you can go to another church down the road. They'll tell you, you're all right. Just go out and do the best you can. Come back next week. And by the way, don't forget to put an offering in. But, you know, the truth. What is the truth? God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. So if you're searching for truth, there's only one place to find it. And that's in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He is the truth. There is no other truth. And then he says, I am the life. Do you know people spend a lot of time running all over trying to find life? They try to find it in a bottle. They try to find it in sex. They try to find it in drugs. They try to find it in this. Try to find it in that. And they're never happy. All they're doing is adding up years without any life. And Jesus says, I am the life, and I have come that you might have life, how? More abundantly. So if you really want to add life to your years, you've got to add Jesus to your life. Otherwise, you're not getting it. So how could any of us come to Jesus Christ if not for his multiple mercies at work in our lives? Let me ask you a question. How many of you came to Christ the very first time the gospel was presented to you? The very first time. Not a one of us. Aren't you thankful that God is merciful? Whew. You know, I'm praying right now for a young man down at the gym. I was able to present the gospel to him last Thursday morning. He listened very intently, very politely. We came to the moment of asking him if he wanted to give his heart to Jesus, and he was very respectful. He said, no, sir, not right now. And I said, well, that's all right. I said, I'll be praying for you. And my prayer has been this, Lord, be patient with him. Don't take him out. Let him have time. Maybe all I did was plant a seed. Let it grow. Let somebody else come along and fertilize it. Let somebody water it. Bring it to fruition. Well, it's been interesting this week as I've been in the gym because I've seen him twice more. He really hasn't come to talk, have a conversation, but he has said this, how you doing, brother? Well, that's better than what it used to be. All right. He's warming up. So, but what about us? Man, when I think all the chances God gave me, you know, I was a drug addict. You didn't know that about me, did you? Yeah. My mom and daddy drug me to church every time the doors were open. That was my habit. As a young kid, I kind of resented that at first. But I'd heard the gospel. My granddaddy talked to me about the gospel. My grandma talked to me. My great-grandma talked to me about the gospel. But it wasn't until I was 13 years old that I gave my heart to Jesus. Multiple opportunities. I'm thankful God was patient with me. What about you? And so we've needed those multiple mercies. There were all the mercies of his regeneration, conversion, pardon, and his justification. We've received all of that from Christ. And that was before. And also at the moment of our conversion. God has been abundantly merciful unto us. David loved his Lord. And we see that here. He mentions that here in this section of the Psalm. David loved the scriptures. He loved the Bible. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you love the Bible? Now, don't answer this question by a raised hand or an amen, because God already knows the answer. Now, you may say, I love the Bible, but you don't read it very often. You may say, I love the Lord, but you don't really spend any time with him. Because you never spend any time with him in his word or in prayer. You never really think of life from God's perspective of what he thinks of you. You know, it's sort of like Buddy and Sammy have been married for a bunch of years. I'm just using their names as an example. But Buddy never talks to her. And she never talks to Buddy. Well, how are they going to, is that love? Sort of like the young man and lady who got married and, oh, they had a beautiful wedding. It was just wonderful. And after the service and after the dinner, she said, okay, you can take me home now. And he said, what? Oh, I love you and all that, but I'm not, I just want to go home now. And he said, but we're married. Oh, I know. Yeah, we're married, but I want to go home now. I want to do what I've always been doing. And that's how a lot of people's relationship with Jesus is, isn't it? Oh, I love him, but I just don't want to spend any time with him. I love him, I just don't need to hear from him. You're not going to tell me what to do. You see, I got a nice place at Mama's house, and it's very comfortable, so take me home now. Yes, we got married, but you take me home now. And that's how a lot of people's relationship is with Jesus. They say I love him, but they don't really... Where's the fruit? Isn't that a good question? Because Jesus said to Christians, you shall know them by their... Well, if you spend no time with God, friend, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of that love? If all you do is show up, put in your time in a Sunday morning service, stop coming. Because where's the fruit of the love? That ain't going to get her done. And so David loved the Lord, and his book was the book of the law, the first five books of the Bible. How many of you have ever read the first five books of the Bible? How many of you have ever read the first five books of the Bible? Okay, how many of you, when you get to Leviticus, go, oh, I don't know if I can continue on? Okay, I mean, I need a lot of coffee and a lot of chocolate to get through Leviticus. So... But this is the word that David had, and he loved it. He didn't have the complete Bible like we do, but he loved the law. He loved the word. He wasn't just satisfied with reading the scripture. You know, this is another thing a lot of Christians do. They read the scripture, they close it up, say, got that done for today. You know, chalk that one off the list. But they don't act on what they've read. They don't let it marinate within them. They just read it. But truth is something you have to act on. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Well, listen, if you go to school and you learn a bunch of facts, but you never act on the facts that you've learned, did you really learn anything? Do you really know anything? You see, David knew he couldn't just be satisfied with reading it. He had to act on it. And that kind of reminds us of what we always say. James said it, so don't get mad at your pastor. But James said it, didn't he? He said, be a doer of the word and not a what? Only. Well, when you're reading, what are you doing? You're hearing. And then if you don't act on it, you've just deceived yourself. Now, the truth you read is designed to help you grow as a child of God so that you can respond in the way we need to respond. And so his psalms are his expression of his desire to experientially know the salvation that was contained in them. Listen, salvation isn't just coming forward in church praying a pretty prayer and woohoo, I get to go to heaven. And that's it. I'm just waiting to die so I can go to heaven. No, salvation is in the here and now. By the way, when you're a Christian, when you become a child of God, you reside in two places. You're in heaven already. It's not a wait till you get there deal. So if you're a child of the King now, shouldn't you live like a child of the King here? Shouldn't we live as a citizen of heaven and be preparing for heaven as we get ready to go to heaven? Listen, I know this. When you all go on vacation, your wives start getting you packed, men, don't they? Because we men can't pack for ourselves. We wouldn't know what to take. But our wives get everything. They tell us what we need, and they get us going. Thank God for a helpmate. That's all I can say. I need her. And so, why do we prepare? Why do we pack? Why do we get ready to go? Because we're going somewhere, right? Shouldn't we be doing that for heaven? We're going on the greatest vacation. We're going to work in heaven, but we're going on the greatest trip any human being could ever experience. We're on our way to heaven. But isn't it interesting that we don't really prepare to go on that trip? Now, if you're going to a sail down the road somewhere, you know what you're going to do in the morning. You know, you're going to make sure you stop at Bojangles, get your chicken biscuit. You're ready to roll. You know, we know what we're going to do. But how come we're not preparing for heaven? You see, it's one thing to claim faith, isn't it? And it's quite another to live it. Quite another to live it. Easy to claim it. Quite another to live it. And so, the best answer we can give to the scoffers, and by the way, this is one of the reasons people don't want to go to church anymore. They don't think it's relevant. Because they don't see any transformation in those who go to church. Isn't that sad? I mean, that's really sad when you stop and think about it. Now, what brought me to Christ was I saw the difference in my daddy. And I saw the difference in my granddaddy. I saw the difference in the people in my church. They lived like people whose lives had been changed. But today, in today's world, there aren't many who are living as if their lives have been changed. Too many are living just like that world. Am I right or am I wrong? And this is one of the reasons for the decline in church attendance. Listen. You're only going to go to a restaurant that serves good food. You go to the restaurant everybody talks about, don't you? You don't go where people have a bad review. Be it a restaurant, be it a motel, be it a trip somewhere. You only go where people are talking about it. Isn't it interesting? Everybody says they know Jesus and there's nobody talking about him. In your conversations, how often do you talk about Jesus and what he's doing in your life? How often do we give him the credit? You see, the best answers that we can give to the scoffers in this world is the attitude and actions of complete trust in God and his word. Yeah, I may be down, but I'm not out. I've got a God in heaven. And whether he allows me more time here on earth or he takes me home, for me it's victory all the way because Jesus is in charge of me. Amen? You know, yeah, my children are in a tough spot right now. They're not behaving the way I'd like them to behave. But you know what? They still got life and they'll never get away from my prayers. They can try to run all they want from me and they may get away from me. But God will answer my prayers. I got a prayer hearing God. You know, it ain't over. It ain't over. Someone dies. We lose a loved one. It ain't over. That's not the last word. There's going to be a great reunion in heaven if they were a believer. Amen? The end has not been written. My mama's gone since 2013, but she ain't gone. She's just in heaven waiting for me. One day there's going to be a great reunion, amen? I'm going to see her again. Now, I've lost some that I'll never see again because they didn't go up, they went down. But I'm all right with it because they had a choice. And they made the wrong choice. And it's their choice. So, no matter what we go through, God's prophet Isaiah compared it to our lives, if you will, our trials, to waters. That's them little ones we kind of can walk through, and we really don't need a lot of help, but we really do. We just don't admit it. And then we got some of them that are rivers. Now, that's a little deeper trouble. Lord, help. And then we got some that are fire, and whoo, baby, we need you now, Lord, right now, right? And so one of my favorite passages of Scripture is this, and listen to this. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now listen to this. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Isn't that a great promise? It don't matter how bad or big or small or large or intense my trials are. The Holy One of Israel has me. I'm going to be all right. So how could we ever testify if God did not deliver us from trials? Now, just a few years ago, we're all aware, Jerry, for the second time in his life, decided he wanted to lay under the four-wheeler instead of ride on top of it. And he went to the hospital, and it wasn't looking good. But God's people prayed. God heard our prayers. And Jerry was gone for a while. But then how many of you remember the Sunday he walked up them stairs over there and walked up behind the pulpit to do the announcements, and the church applauded, and tears flowed, and praise came because God had raised up our brother? And do you think the world doesn't need to hear testimony like that? Or how about this week? Wasn't looking good for Charlotte. Do you think Lynn's not singing the praises of the Lord right now for the good blessing that God gave? Heck, I'm her pastor and I'm saying it. You know? Look at all the things that God has brought us through. Even as a church. Is God good? Better believe it. How come we don't talk about what God is doing? You see, somehow or another, we've allowed what David prayed not to have happen. David said, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Now, God gives us experiences so that we can go tell people the truth of how great and how awesome God is. I've lost a mama. I can comfort someone who's lost a mama. I can't comfort someone who's lost a daddy. I've not lost mine yet. If you've lost yours, who better to minister to somebody who suffered the loss of a father than somebody who's lost a father? Somebody who's gone through a life near-death experience where it was touch and go. Jerry was down. He wasn't out. God was in control. Who better to witness to somebody than somebody who's been there? Real stories have meaning, don't they? Whose children have been strayed from the Lord, but now they're back with the Lord. As parents, are we singing the praises of God? Thank you, Jesus. When someone comes to salvation in Christ, do we share the story of how someone came to know Christ in our church this past Sunday or the baptisms? Are we telling that in the community? You see, David spoke about the greatness of his God. He had the word of truth. The word of truth is not only what Jesus has done for us, but what Jesus is doing in us and what Jesus is doing for us right now. What brought you to church all those years ago? What brought you to Christ? Was it not the lives of people whose lives had been changed by the power of God? You know, isn't it interesting? We can talk about sports, we can talk about the weather, we can talk about sales, we can talk about cattle, we can talk about just about everything, but we just somehow have allowed the word of truth to be taken out of our mouths in this day and age. We just don't talk about Jesus much, do we? And guys, the more we talk about Jesus, the more people are going to see Jesus in us. Now, here's the thing. When John wrote in Revelation, and they overcame him, meaning Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The testimony is what God is doing in you right now, what God has done for you, and what God is doing in your church and what he's done in your church in times past. Listen, can we trust God to deliver us? Can we take God at his word? Can we count on God? Isn't that what this world needs? People are running all over, looking for something, looking for anything. And here we sit and stand on the sure foundation of what this world needs. But until people see Jesus in us, will they come? I don't know. Probably not. David prayed that the word of truth would not be taken from him. Now, I don't know what has happened in our day and age. This is just a, I don't have the answers. But is it possible we've allowed the word of truth to be taken out of our mouths for fear of being ridiculed, scoffed at, laughed at, rejected, you name it, in this world in which we're living? I don't know. But when you have the word of truth, you have the word that everybody needs, don't you? You have the only word. And then they get a choice, like that young man. Here's the word of truth. What are you going to do with it? It's not ours to convict him. It's not ours to tell him you need Jesus. It's not ours to tell him you need to be in church. And here's another thing about all of us in our generation. We grow all, how many of you grew up like this? You need to come to church. Did you grow up like that? What do we often tell people? You need to get to church, right? Has the church ever saved anybody? No. We've been telling them the wrong thing for a lot of years. They need to come to Jesus, and Jesus will bring them to the church. You see, when you come to Jesus, Jesus transforms your life, and he brings you where he wants you. And until they come to Jesus, they can come to church, but hey, we're living in a day and age. Met a lady down at Walmart yesterday, talked to her for a while. She said, where do you go to church? Well, I used to go as a little girl, but I haven't been in quite a few years. I said, well, do you have eternal security? And she said, oh yeah, I got eternal security, but I'm always here. And then she said something that really resonated with me. She said, not every church is a church anymore. You know, she's exactly right. What she's saying is too much of the world has gotten into too many churches, and you really don't know if what you're hearing is the truth or not. When the world's values come inside the church is no longer the church. And these are the issues as we talk about this tonight of why church attendance all across the world is down. The church is you and I. We've got the word of truth. And when we come together, we've got to speak the truth. We've got to speak the truth in love. And are these real issues? Absolutely. But David prayed, don't take the word of truth out of my mouth. He was fearful of that. He had a holy fear of God. And when you fear God and you have the truth, hell can't stop you. And so as we think about these things, let's commit ourselves to being doers of God's word, not just hearers only. You know, many of us have been in it. You guys have all heard enough sermons and enough teachings. You know what to do, but we got to do it. And so if we don't do it, we can't fulfill God's desire, which is, he said, go ye. Be his witnesses. Well, let me ask you this question. What kind of witnesses are we if we keep silent? And remember what someone said a long time ago. The only thing that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. Buddy, what'd you say? Somewhere along the line, we got the idea that church is what happens inside these four walls. No, we only come to church to celebrate what goes on outside these four walls as people come in. Somewhere along the line, we thought, well, we have to take control of the church. We have to hold it together. We've got to do this. We've got to, you know what? All our hands were on it instead of allowing God to direct it. Guys, if we don't do the truth, that word of truth be taken out of our mouth. We've got to do what we hear. We've got to act on what we know. And when we do that, we'll be doing what God has asked us to do, and God will be able to bless us abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. But if we do nothing, you get nothing. So let's make certain we go out and share the word of truth and tell people about our sure foundation, because they're looking for it. Nothing resonates. And I happened to be on a call today. A young lady was sharing her story. She'd had two abortions in her lifetime. She even grew up and went to work for an abortion clinic. She now has a foundation where she is pro-life, and she stands outside abortion clinics and tells people her experiences. She says, I understand. You don't want to be here. You don't have to be here. There is a God in heaven who can make a world of difference. She works not to give people a hand out, but a hand up. Do you know, standing outside that abortion clinic, because she's had them, she knows what they're going through. Who better to minister in that situation? She's not ashamed of her testimony. I once was a murderer. I am now a giver of life. I now offer life. She has Jesus, who is the life. And she's just speaking out of her heart of what Jesus has done for her. What a testimony. What a testimony. She's speaking the truth in love. And by the way, when it comes to abortion, radical feminists say, men, you have no say in this. But do you realize most abortions are performed by men? Most abortionists are men. Radical feminists say, men, you have no say in this as long as you agree with us. But the moment you disagree, you have no say in this. Do you know why we have these things? Because men have done nothing. Women desire men to lead them. That's biblical. If men would assume the responsibility and the leaderships of their homes, as they should, in their God-ordained roles, we could change our world. Think of all the fatherlessness in this world, All these different things. It all comes back to this. Are we going to be a living example of what we claim to believe? I sure hope so. Lots to think about anyway, amen? Brother James, would you close? I'm going to put my hands together so I can talk no more. You close us in prayer.